welcome to this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon is with me on the line. Hey, Colin, we're going to see each other next week, right?
We are indeed going to see each other next week. I'm booked and ready to go. Looking forward to the Ad Summit, Will. I know we talked last week a little bit about the panel that I'm moderating, and that looks like really interesting. Mobile video will be the subject. Mobile advertising will be featured in that discussion, I'm sure. What else? Anything new there going on?
Yeah, so we're looking forward. We've got a nice, good crowd coming in next Wednesday, May 29th, the 9th Annual Video Advertising Summit. So if listeners are listening and haven't registered yet, there's still time to do so. And we have about 30 or 35 speakers and a full day. It's at the Westin New York in Times Square. Peter Naylor, who's the head of advertising for Hulu, is our keynoter, and I'm going to interview him. We did a prep session earlier this week, have a lot of really interesting stuff to talk about. And looking forward to the day. A lot of planning, but looking like it's coming together pretty well. And you're going to be on hand. We're going to record together next week. So looking forward to all that.
Yeah, me too. And I hope that anybody that's listening, if they want to chat to us, we'll both be there. I'll be there all day. So that'd be great to just come up and say hi and let us know what you like about the podcast. But this week, we've got a particularly interesting topic, right?
Yeah, you're going to get us started. We're following some research this week, and you wrote about thinking about how many services, video services, that people are already using and how many they may be expected to use going forward. And this is, of course, a critical information, critical thing to think about, because there are so many video services out there and still launching that one wonders just how expansive the market opportunity remains. So we want to explore that topic a little bit through the lens of some recent research, right?
You bet. So this actually, what kicked this topic off for me, Will, was I read a piece talking about Marc de Beauvoir, who's President and Chief Operating Officer of CBS Interactive. And he was asked about the opportunity for CBS All Access and Showtime and some of it's CBSN and some of the other properties. And he said something very interesting. He said that currently people have about three services, and I'll give you an update on that in just a second. But he also said that he thought that we would ultimately end up with around 10 subscription services. And that really caught my eye, because I'm not sure I agree with him. So let's talk a little bit about why I don't think we will get there. But first, I want to talk about why I think there's a possibility that you could think that we were going to get there. So first data point is I did a survey last year of SVOD users in the US and the UK, and they told us that they were using about 3.4 services each. Definitely, SVOD users now are multiple service users. Most people are multiple service users. So that's one data point. So I certainly support his Mr. de Beauvoir's statement about their people using three services. That clearly is true. And the other data point was, I've often thought that in some respects, some SVOD services you can equate to TV channels. I think some are more like TV channels than others. So I think services like CuriosityStream and BritBox, they correspond to TV channels. Obviously, they've got a little bit more content and more fresh content, but I think of them as TV channels. And if you think about it, looking at some Nielsen research, we watch a lot of channels. 20 channels, I think, was the last data point that Nielsen put out back in May 2016. And the interesting thing is, it doesn't really seem to matter how many channels people have access to. They still watch about the same. So even if you go back to 2008, when they had access to 60% less channels, they were still watching 17 or 18 channels in any given month. So, you know, you might look at this data and go, well, wait a minute. There's evidence right there that, you know, there's a lot of softness. People will have 10 or even more SVOD channels. But I don't think it'll be quite the same. The first thing is the cost. So if you were to get 10 channels, depending on which SVOD services you got. You would be spending $80 or maybe upwards of $100 a month, depending on those services. And certainly from the perspective of cord cutters, one of the things that cord cutters tell us time and time again is it's the cost of pay TV that drives them away. And of course, everybody's paying, I don't know, $80 if you're a Comcast customer, or $110 if you're a DirecTV customer. That's a lot of money, and that's driving people away. So I think there'll be resistance from cord cutters to going back to spending the same amount they would have been spending for pay television. And of course, if you have a pay TV subscription already and you're adding another SVOD service, well, boy, your bill is already big, and there'll be a lot of resistance to adding another pay TV service. So I think cost is one really big factor. I mean, wouldn't you agree that adding an incremental service, Will, is, if you've already got pay TV and you've already got two or three other services, it's a high bar to cross, right?
It is a high bar. I agree. I think there's no question that cost is something to focus in on. The winning formula, of course, for all of these services that are either in market or launching to get you to subscribe is that they create a show that you hear about one way or the other and feel compelled to want to watch. And so, think about Game of Thrones on HBO, or going all the way back to House of Cards on Netflix. People subscribe to just to be able to watch that. That's, I think, what Apple is banking on. It's what Disney is banking on with Disney Plus, is that people will be willing to subscribe because there's certain, you want to call it must-see TV, still kind of an older term, but I think still very valuable. But your point is well taken. And actually, there was some Hub research that came out just on this point as well that started to suggest that there might be some maturing in the market. So Hub was saying that people are currently using 4.5 sources. That's roughly consistent with what you were saying before, slightly higher for 18 to 34-year-olds. But 24% already are saying that they have, they're overloaded, have more TV than they can watch. And 36% were saying that they would cancel an existing service, cancel paying for an existing service, before they would pick up yet another service. So some, I think, maturing there, that people are not just willing to continue adding services indefinitely. The other thing that I would add also here is that I think is important contextually, is that the economy has been pretty darn good for a lot of people. That's painting a broad brush. Obviously, things are uneven, and we don't want to get into those details right now. But I think, broadly speaking, consumer confidence has remained relatively high. People feel relatively good, again, speaking broadly. And that certainly is an input as far as what they're willing to spend per month. And the question there is, if the economy were to tighten in any way, how would behaviors change? Would people pull in their spending and maybe rein in some of the services, video services, and other services for that matter, grocery delivery, restaurant, food, whatever, things that have sort of kind of come into our lives over the last 5 to 10 years, might those start to get pruned a little bit? So there's that, I think, contextually, that is important to think about also in terms of how many video services people are going to ultimately take.
I think you're right. We, as you say, we haven't had a downturn. That could force a lot more people to start thinking very hard about the services that they get, particularly the video services. Now, I will say that in times past, the downturns that we've seen, even significant downturns, what people have tended to do is to trim the external stuff, but not their pay TV subscriptions. We are in a very different world now, and this could be, what will you cut if things get really tough? And I got a feeling that pay television, it's not a slam dunk that people will keep it anymore. They're probably, you know, a choice between paid television and Netflix could be a really difficult one for people. So I think a downturn could be very interesting. Also, this is something that I think we mentioned before that Netflix is remarkably blasé about the threat that is posed by Disney and WarnerMedia and NBCU and others coming into the market. And I really do think that there is this hub research seems to imply that for a quite large group, a quarter of people said that they would think about seriously about getting rid of something to get something else.
36% actually. Yeah, 24% saying that they feel they already have more than they can
Right. Swap,
feeling overloaded, but 36% saying that they would swap out to get something new.
Yeah, so there's one impact. The other impact, of course, is for somebody that hasn't yet jumped in. When they come to evaluate Disney Plus and this Christmas, this holiday season, yes, they are going to that purchase, the subscription to Disney Plus does affect their decision to subscribe to anything else during that period, right? And if Disney is first in, then, you know, maybe they'll hesitate about subscribing to Netflix, whereas possibly they wouldn't before. So I think there is some implied impacts going on here because of the cost, and that really I think people aren't taking into account. So cost was my first thing. The second thing, Will, was just simply content overload. And the truth is that when I was talking about some SVOD services are quite like channels, I don't think Netflix is like a channel. I don't think Disney Plus will be like a channel. And I'm pretty sure the WarnerMedia is not going to feel like a channel either. These services have a broad swath of content over multiple genres. And they're really like a conglomeration of channels. They're not just one channel. So if you think about it, if I've got Netflix, Disney, and Hulu, or Netflix, Disney, and WarnerMedia, that's a heck of a lot of content. And I'm not sure that I have time to watch it all. That's the first thing. So I got a feeling that we will have possibly three, maybe four of those types of content before we just simply run out of time to watch it all, right?
Yeah, well, I think that's the way a lot of people feel already. I'll certainly at least speak for myself. I feel like I have a queue as long as my arm of shows that people, and movies for that matter, that people have told me about that they enjoy, that I just haven't had time to watch. There's already a lot of good stuff. And as you point out, there's even more good stuff coming. So people start to wonder and what they're paying for doesn't make sense. And the other one I think that maybe you started to allude to that I think is valuable to talk about is the amount of the free ad-supported TV, what you call the FAST services, whether it's Roku Channel, Pluto, Tubi, Zumo, et cetera. There's a lot of free ad-supported content out there now that is pretty good, and that represents even more. Those represent even more choices for people.
They sure do, and that's actually my third major point, Will. That there is so much quality content available now, ad-supported, free. When we're out there watching our Netflix or our Amazon, you know, when we want a break, we want to take a look at something else, we have plenty of opportunity to just drop in on a free ad-supported service rather than going and looking at what other SVOD services are there and subscribing to them. And this is what I see is I see the amount and the broadness of content that's available is increasing greatly. So for example, if you go to Pluto TV and you want to watch news, they've got CSN and CBSN. They've also got Sky News if you want that, and BBC World News I think is also there. If you want your local news, you've got Stir from Sinclair. You can watch your local TV channel in a mobile app on your phone. And my goodness, is there ever a lot of movie and TV show services like the Roku channel, IMDb FreeDive, and Zumo, and many others, providing a really nice selection of library type content in an ad-free environment. And of course, we're seeing an increase in the amount of sports, comedy, kids content. So this stuff all impacts our need to subscribe to the next service. And I think that, you know, when you add these three things up, content overload, cost, and the availability of free, I have a feeling that we are going to see the amount of SVOD services, that's the amount of services that we actually subscribe to and pay for on a monthly basis, I think it's going to be less than 10. It isn't going to be 10 or anywhere near. It's not going to be like 17 with the TV channels that we watch. Although I will say, I do think we will be using 10 or more online video services, but that will include the free stuff as well.
Yeah, I totally hear you, and I think that all of this says to me that this whole video, premium video TV world is getting more competitive all the time, and you just wonder about whether there's just huge overinvestment in original programming happening right now, and what the economics are going to look like for all these different players going forward, where the returns are going to come from, and how people are going to essentially rationalize, I think is what we're talking about, how they're going to rationalize what they choose to pay for and what their decision-making looks like and what the mix of paid and free services is going to be. One interesting point I'll bring in here, we'll hear more about this at the Ad Summit next week, but I was talking to Peter Naylor, who's the head of ad sales at Hulu, who's going to be our keynoter next week. And Hulu, of course, offers ad-supported and an ad-free service. And he was making the point that they have to be really disciplined about delivering a great experience on the ad-supported side, because they recognize that if they don't, then people could be lured into just saying, oh, we'll just go ahead and pay and subscribe to get the service without ads. So they're very mindful of providing that type of an exceptional viewer experience with ads, and obviously without ads as well for those that choose to go that direction. But it reinforced to me how high the bar is getting, that you have players like established players like Hulu who have learned what viewers will tolerate, what their how important their experience, delivering a great experience, is to them, and how they can change their minds in a heartbeat. And that's what everybody is facing, I think, that's coming into this space.
I think so. And, you know, the interesting thing is that I think we do see, the way I see the market sort of settling out, Will, is that we'll have two or three or maybe even four of these core general entertainment services like Netflix and Disney Plus. I think we'll have a couple or three more specific services that really cater to our particular interests. So for me, like, I got to have Curiosity Stream. I got to have that one. I got to have BritBox. So I'm going to pay for those as well. But beyond that, I know I'm going to be also watching free ad supported. So the other thing is, you mentioned something that's very interesting, which is, you know, what about the situation where there's a Game of Thrones and I just got to watch that? And then I think what people are going to be doing is dropping in on services that they don't have. And there will be maybe a float, should we call it a float, of a couple of services in there that is actually changing all the time, dependent on what the current hot show is. And people drop in and drop out of other services dependent on that. So that means that our behaviors will, I think, change a little bit going forward. We'll still have a bundle, but there'll be a floating part of that bundle. There'll be a free ad-supported part of that bundle, and then there'll be what I call the anchor tenants, which will be those 4 to 6 services that are general entertainment and cater directly to our specific interests. So, you know, that's how I think things will shake out. The one thing we haven't mentioned, we haven't really talked about, is sports. That's the wild card, right? That's the one that could keep us with our virtual MVPDs for the next couple of years, allowing us to continue to watch the primetime sports that we really like, if we like the hockey or we want to see our local basketball game. So, you know, I think that's how I see things shaking out.
Yeah, I hear you. It's going to be, I think, really interesting to see how it shakes out. And surely with the pending launch of Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus and Warner Media and soon NBCU, it's the number of choices and decisions that people have to make is getting ever longer.
Yeah. And the thing for me, Will, I'm kind of excited to see about this time, well, maybe a little earlier than this time next year, we'll have a real insight on the softness or not of people's ability to pay for those extra services, because I have a feeling that we will see a blip in Netflix, in their growth. That is a direct impact from services like Disney Plus and Warner Media coming into the market. So, but we've got at least 9-10 months before we'll know for sure.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, let's leave it at that for today, Colin. We are going to see each other in New York next week, so looking forward to that.
Me too.
And thanks, everyone, for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News Endscreen Media Podcast. And we'll see you all next week.